Let's talk some baseball as we get this hour rolling and get on the G&M Family Market phone line to welcome back to the program ESPN baseball writer Jerry Krasnick. Jerry, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. You were in Philadelphia over the weekend watching the Phillies game, I understand. And, boy, early in the season, it didn't look good for Gabe Kapler. He was getting a lot of heat as manager, but that team has turned things around and are surprising people with the way they're playing.
Yeah, they had a lot of talent. You know, they have a lot of young kids. It's been a lengthy process. I think it's been since about 2011, they really let it bottom out with Utley and Howard and Rollins. They hung on to these guys long past their shelf life, and they really had to kind of dig deep. But it looks like they're coming back now. You know, they made some moves over the offseason with Arrieta and Carlos Santana. But I think the big thing, obviously, is the young kids on the farm, like Rhys Hoskins and Scott Kingery, and, you know, there's any number of them. And Ruben Amaro had a pretty nice going-away present when he brought in Odubel Herrera and some of these other guys in trade. So they've done a really nice job, I think, with mixing, you know, some new veteran additions and some kids. And Gabe Kapler seems to be finding his footing.
Yeah, overall, some of these first-time managers are certainly having success. Alex Cora in Boston, Aaron Boone, Mickey Callaway. Is there something to that?
Yeah, I mean, look, these guys were sharp guys, and there's a reason they got hired. I think the funny thing is they're all sort of having their blips. I have a story about Callaway today, and obviously he had the one last week where he submitted the wrong lineup card, and Aaron Boone had one in the in spring training where he called on a pitcher who hadn't gotten up to warm up, and the same thing happened with Gabe Kapler. So there are some little blips and minefields that they're hitting, but, you know, they have help from their bench coaches, and most importantly, they have talent, you know, and when you have talent, I guess the big thing is just not screw it up.
Boy, it was a big weekend for the Cincinnati Reds as they swept the Dodgers. What's wrong with L.A.?
Boy, a lot of things. You know, I mean, keep in mind, Justin Turner is kind of the guy who makes them go offensively, and he hasn't played yet this year. And Corey Seager is, you know, probably going to be in the MVP discussion, and he's out for the year with a Tommy John surgery. Clayton Kershaw has been hurt. So they've had a bunch of injuries, and I think sometimes these teams get a little bit of a postseason hangover. They didn't really do much in the offseason. Some small moves, you know, they lost Brandon Morrow and Tony Watson to free agency, and in hindsight, maybe they should have spent a little bit more money to keep those guys, because when they do get leads, they're blowing them, and there's a lot of games where they're scoring two or three runs, and you're not going to win that way.
We're talking with Jerry Krasnick of ESPN in the American League. The Red Sox and Yankees tied atop the East, both playing 700 baseball so far, and certainly showing themselves to be among the strongest teams in all of baseball. Both got there in different ways. The Sox had that great early run. The Yankees started kind of slow and then caught fire. Both these teams seem to be in it for the long haul, though.
Yeah, it's a collision course. You know, I think the thing is, it's going to be unfortunate for one of them because they're probably going to win 98 to 100 games and be a wild card team, which is pretty difficult to deal with. But under the new format, you know, it's you really want to finish first. So it's going to be a real slugfest. And for people who hate that Yankees-Red Sox rivalry and are tired of it, get used to it, because I think both of these teams are going to be good for the next few years.
Well, there's no question about that. One of the teams that's having some awful struggles this year, the Baltimore Orioles, and it sure seems like from afar that ownership has got Dan Duquette's hands tied a little bit. What's going on there behind the scenes with the Orioles?
Well, there's just a lot of issues. You know, Peter Angelos, the owner, it appears like he's in declining health, I think, and that's fairly well known. He's not as immersed in it as he was, and so his sons are getting involved a little bit. I think Brady Anderson, the former big league outfielder, is in the front office, is involved. Dan Duquette is in the last year of his contract. Buck Showalter is in the last year of his contract. I think it's pretty commonly known that there is a little bit of strain between those two guys. So it's just sort of a dysfunctional environment. That being said, they're not as bad as they were to start the season. They did make some moves. I mean, they went out and got Alex Cobb and Andrew Kashner, and if they had pitched a little bit early, you know, they might have been not buried themselves quite so much. And they were also one of these teams, I think, that played a lot of games in 30 and 40 degree temperatures. So they didn't hit much for a month, and now they're just mashing the ball, but it's a little bit too late.
In Seattle, a big injury to second baseman Robinson Cano. How big a blow is that to the Mariners?
It's a big blow. I mean, he's the guy who gives them an awful lot of good at-bats in the middle of their order. He's a real steadying presence. I saw today they're not planning on moving D. Gordon to second base, which was kind of an interesting question. He had to move to center field to accommodate Cano, and, you know, for the 6 weeks or whatever, I think they feel like it would be unfair to him to make him shift positions after all these years and then move back. So, you know, it's a blow, but so many teams have encountered injuries and overcome them, and this is just something where they're going to have to dig deep and make up for that loss of Robinson Cano. They still have some guys who can hit, D. Gordon and Nelson Cruz and Kyle Seager and Mitch Haniger and Gene Segura. It's a pretty good lineup. So, you know, I think they can score enough runs if they pitch, and that's always the big question.
Who's been the most surprising team to you so far this season, Jerry?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I would probably say, since Arizona's a team that I think most of us expected to be good, probably the Braves or the Phillies. You know, I think most people thought these teams were a year away, and they're right now duking it out at the top of the division, and they look like they're going to give Washington all it can handle. So I think they both bumped up the timetable. You certainly have to be excited about what the Braves have going on, especially with Ronald Acuna. He's the real deal, and some of their young pitchers. So I think Atlanta and Philly, to me, are probably the most pleasant surprises so far.
You wrote a wonderful piece the other day about Andrew McCutchen proving you can go home again. Certainly the fans in Pittsburgh appreciate what he did for the franchise for all those years.
Yeah, you know, he's a beloved guy there. And I don't know, how many standing ovations did he get? About a dozen, I think. you know, it just goes to show sometimes that, yeah, being a good player is one thing, but he's a guy who, you know, won the Roberto Clemente Award. He immersed himself in the community. He took less money to stay there at one point. So, you know, it's too bad, because you'd like to see a guy like that get to the end of his career, be a one-team player, and go to the Hall of Fame as a Pirate. But it didn't quite work out that way. But I'm sure it was nice and heartening for him to get that ovation. And I think he just wishes his team had played a little better.
Jerry, big news today, the Supreme Court ruling that New Jersey ban on sports betting has been overturned, unconstitutional. That opens up the doors to legalize sports betting throughout the United States. What kind of implications might that have for professional sports, Major League Baseball in general?
Well, it's funny, because today on Twitter, a lot of people were saying, well, you know, could this open the door for Pete Rose to get back in the Hall of Fame? And I don't think so. I mean, it's not as if they're giving players a license now to go out and say, hey, bet on the games you're playing in. But, you know, look, there's going to be more revenue out of this thing. They even mentioned, you know, safety of players. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? Well, you know, maybe somebody now, more people are wagering money on baseball, and they have an interest in harming a player to, you know, to help their wager or something. I mean, I guess a lot of things could happen out of this, and not only for baseball and other sports, but baseball is going to have to tread very lightly on this, because, look, it's always something when the integrity of the game is questioned, and we saw it with the Black Sox scandal, you know, what kind of long-term ramifications there can be. And as I said, there's also, you know, probably going to be a lot of income from this, and the players are going to want their share. So there's a lot of shakeout in all the sports. It's going to be very wide-ranging as more of these states start to legalize sports gambling.
Jerry Krasnick of ESPN. Always love talking baseball with you, Jerry. Thanks so much for making time for us.
Thanks, guys.